We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay. Well, anyway, here's the deal. Let's straighten this stuff out on this new kickoff rule. If the ball is kicked through the end zone, out of the end zone, like, you know, you don't want to return and the kicker just loads up and lets it go, then it comes out to the opposing team's, to the receiving team's 30 as opposed to the 25 where it is now. So I don't really see, I know they're saying this is going to make a big difference in kickoff returns, but it seems like if you move the kicker back, maybe, so he can't kick it through the end zone, or if you make it the 35, then teams would be more willing to kick the ball within the field of play and not just kick it through the end zone. But 25, 30, that 5 yards, I think teams are still going to kick it through the end zone, but we'll see. Moving along, Jason Green-Lowe joins us now, Executive Director of the Center for AI Policy. He wrote an op-ed for The Hill that got our attention about robocalls, the least of our AI worries. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time. Tell me about the op-ed for people that didn't see it, if you will, and expand on that. Robocalls are the least of our AI worries.
Sure. I was just listening to the State of the Union, and President Biden was saying, okay, we've got to stop automated fake voices. And we do. We've got to get rid of them because they scam people and they're annoying. But we're looking at much more serious threats coming down the pike over the next decade or so. I'm worried about AI taking over large parts of the economy, and I'm worried about AI being weaponized, and so are a lot of experts, both in this report that was recently published by the State Department contractors over at Gladstone and some of the expert computer scientists.
So how would that happen? How would AI take over? Let's start, I guess, with the economy.
Sure. So, you know, if you drive to work, you're getting directions from kind of an AI-powered algorithm. Maybe you're listening to music that was picked out by Spotify or by Pandora. So the AI is choosing your music. It's choosing how you drive. If you want to figure out where to go to eat or what to watch, you know, in terms of a movie, it's all AI recommended. So the AI algorithms are driving an increasing part of our choices. And right now we have humans at the wheel designing those algorithms. But that's fading too, because the AIs are learning how to write their own code, right? If you sit down and write a new computer program, the AI is going to write a third, half of the code for you over the next few years, and that percentage is only going to grow. So when you have the AI telling the AI, what to do, and it's steering our lives and making all these decisions for us, and if you don't trust the AI, if you try and navigate through the city on yourself, you're just going to get lost. You know, it's dangerous to just leave all the assets in the hands of the AI, even if it's trying to help us, because it may not understand exactly what we want. We may not understand why it's making the choices it does. It's a strange new world.
So when it comes to AI hurting the economy, it would be at the hands of somebody using AI to destroy the economy of another nation in favor of their own, or to profit from it? Or are you talking about AI going uncontrolled here where nobody is in control of it?
Both are threats, right? So there's a misuse threat where you can, say, hack into hospitals using automated cyber hacking technology that automatically finds the vulnerabilities, shut them down for ransom until somebody pays you. That's the misuse idea. But then there's also this idea about AI that is an agent all by itself, right? It has its own goals that it's trying to pursue, and those goals might not match up exactly with our goals. And even small differences between what the AI wants and what we want could turn out to be a big deal if we don't have any way to correct it.
Is it already being used with the algorithms? Because derivatives, et cetera, stock market, it's all about the math, right? Is AI already being used by some either to manipulate the market or profit from it?
Both, yes, absolutely.
How? Like in manipulation, for example. And keep this on the eighth grade level, if you could, please, Jason.
Sure. So the trades that are being executed on the stock market are often recommended by AI without even having a human in the loop, right? So the AI is noticing what's happening in the stock market. It's noticing what's happening in the news. And based on that, it'll execute trades without a human ever going and reviewing and approving each of those trades. And the people who run these algorithms are sort of aware of each other. They're competing with each other, and they can try to tweak their algorithms so that they gain an advantage. And there's huge spikes and drops in stock prices that don't correspond to any real changes in the value of those businesses, but just correspond to changes in the algorithms that are trading them.
Which has nothing to do with the value of the companies, how the company's performing, right, or expected profit loss, et cetera. It's just based on the numbers themselves and manipulating those. Am I on to something here?
That's right. That's one of the concerns.
Okay. I don't want to hurt myself here, so stop me, Jason, if I get into a little bit too deep at the end of the pool, all right? Tell me about weaponization of AI. What would that look like?
So right now, if you want to build a dangerous virus or a dirty bomb, right, some nuclear material in a suitcase or something like that, it's actually quite hard. Like, it takes many people with expert-level skills working together in secret because the government's out there and they're trying to keep track of these things and they're trying to stop rogues and terrorists from being able to do these things. And it's quite hard, and because it's quite hard, the government usually gets a chance to step in and bust up the crime ring or whatever it is before they get too far toward developing these weapons. Today, that probably still happens, right? I'm not worried about, you know, waking up tomorrow and there's some kind of new AI-engineered virus out there. It's not a threat that's happening right this minute. But we're on the road to that. If you look at how smart AI is or how capable it is, it's gone from barely being able to articulate a coherent English sentence to being able to pass graduate level exams, right? It can pass the MCAT and get into medical school.
Yeah, take me through that for a second, if I may pause you, because I saw you wrote that, and I'm explain to me how that happens. So they feed the questions from the MCAT, for example, and I guess it would be the same thing with any other aptitude test into a computer, and then the AI responds based on what it has in it data-wise?
Yeah, so it's studied past tests, and it's also studied the textbooks. It's quote-unquote read almost everything that's relevant. A lot of them have read the entire internet, and maybe a few libraries as well. So when I studied for the bar exam, I also looked at past tests. The AI had the same advantage as I did. It read the textbooks. It also crammed for the test. And it gets a good score. It gets a better score than most people who take the test.
But it's nowhere near as good of a litigator, right?
It's not ready for litigation yet because, there's too much real-time stuff there.
Yeah, I was just kidding. I was just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
But seriously, when it comes to the doing better than a human, there's no way a human could have absorbed all of that information, right?
Right. That's part of the issue. So the AI can, watch 90 movies a second with just one chip. I'm kind of struggling, like, okay, I got to get through this show. I got too many episodes, and it's got it all right away.
Who's in control of all of this, if anybody is?
That's the whole problem, is that nobody's in control, not even the companies that are developing it. When we say that AI is a black box technology, what we mean is even the people developing and inventing it just don't understand why it's making the decisions it does at a fundamental level.
So does that mean individuals each know a little piece of it and nobody can put the whole thing together? Or again, is AI running completely and totally unchecked?
It's running almost totally unchecked. Some of the more responsible labs are doing some work toward interpretability to try to build at least a rough picture of why some of the decisions come out the way they do. But others don't, right? If you peer inside an AI, what is it? It's a bunch of really long decimal numbers, mm-hmm. right? It's 0.7342 this and minus 0.23478 that. And those numbers don't mean anything even to the engineers. There's billions of those numbers. And it's the combined effect of all of those numbers that cause the AI to tell you, oh, I think you'll like this movie, or oh, you should turn left at the traffic light. And there's no human who can follow all of that. There's no team of humans who can follow all of that and say, oh, okay, it made this recommendation for this reason.
Somebody texted me and said AI is writing its own code that is breaching bank protection by looking friendly to the bank's computer. So here we have a computer that's knowing what the other computer is looking for and outsmarting it.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. So right now, if I wanted to hack into a bank, and I don't, I had that beaten out of me in middle school.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
You'd need that AI litigator if you did that.
Yeah, I would need a few of them. So, you know, I'd have to manually look at the code and figure out where can I find a vulnerability? Where can I find some part of this code that's poorly written so that I can gain entrance to the network? And part of what offensive AI can do is it can automatically scan all of the code in just a few seconds and see, all right, let me find the best place to attack, the most vulnerable place to try to gain entry to the bank's network, which could include, like your text says, trying to look like it's part of the bank's internal software. One of the things AI is very good at doing is copying language, copying the style of someone else's language.
So it seems as though the horse has bolted the barn here. I don't know how. Let me take a break, and we'll pick it up here when we come back. We're talking to Jason Green Lowe, Executive Director of the Center for AI Policy. He wrote a piece for The Hill. Robocalls are the least of our AI worries, and it was spawned by watching the President Biden's State of the Union speech saying that his only concrete policy proposal was to ban AI voice impersonation, and Jason saying that's the least of it. And from what he's told us so far, I don't know how you get the horse back in the barn here. I don't know if this thing's running unchecked and nobody understands all of it, and maybe each person understands a little bit of it, how would you ever prevent nefarious actors from using this for bad purposes? And then where does this ultimately lead? Jason Green Lowe, our guest, we'll talk more when we come back. It's a befuddled Tommy Tucker here at 920, back in a flash, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is 9:25. We're having an enlightening, informative, and scary conversation, I guess, with Jason Green Lowe, Executive Director of the Center for AI Policy. He wrote an opinion piece for The Hill about artificial intelligence and what the Biden administration should be focusing on. Somebody texted this in, and I'll try not to hurt myself, Jason, so I guess it's valid. Ask about the paperclip conundrum and how AI can help microbiology cure disease, please.
Well, we want AI to help microbiology cure disease. Yeah, I think there's too much focus on this idea that, oh, AI is not safe, so we can't have any. And mm-hmm. That's silly. AI is not safe, so we need to require that it be made safely. Right? I mean, it's an incredibly valuable technology. We just need to make sure that some safety is introduced in the most advanced and most threatening cases. So I'm glad the AI we've gotten so far has been rolled out. As it continues to get more powerful and become more dangerous, it needs to have correspondingly more powerful safety features. That's all.
So what is paperclip conundrum? What is that?
The paperclip thought experiment is a little bit of philosophy. The thought is, what if you asked an AI to make paperclips, and kind of like Fantasia, that old Disney movie, it just never stopped, and so it filled the whole world with paperclips, and you couldn't shut it off.
So we just have a lot of paperclips?
Well, you and I would be paperclips, too. It wouldn't be much fun.
Huh. Okay. I'm not quite sure what that means, but okay, I'll go with it. So can you use AI to control AI and to develop, now we're in a hall of mirrors, it seems like, can you use AI to control AI?
It can help, and we should, absolutely, right? So part of what we'll need is safety features that have been proposed and refined by AI, but you can't leave it entirely up to the AI. You can't just tell the AI, hey, police yourself and make sure you're doing a good job, because how do you know if it really is? How do you know if its values are aligned with yours?
So let me go back here, because we keep talking about AI, and I get a text here, a couple of them that pop up. We have a screen where people can text in. Maybe it's a bot, maybe it's not. I don't know. and they're saying, well, you keep using the phrase AI. What exactly is that? What is AI?
Sure. So the example I have in mind is generative neural networks. It's a series of matrices, right? A series of tables of numbers that feed back into each other so it can learn to approximate a desired result over time. Mm-hmm. Right? So it'll automatically teach itself how to get answers that the user approves of. And the reason why that's dangerous is the context in which the user is approving things could be different than the real world context. Right? So once you've trained it to output the photos you want, and then you set it loose in the real world, you might find that, well, actually, it stopped giving you nice, helpful photos and started giving you blueprints for weapons or something like that.
So where do you see us in 5 years? Where is AI 5 years from now? Because it seems to be, from what you said, increasing exponentially daily. Is it?
I think that's right. Yeah, I think it's on an exponential curve. So in 5 years, I'd expect a lot of industries will see a shift from AI as a complement for human workers to AI as a substitute for human workers. I think AI will be doing a lot of our jobs for us.
So at some point, somebody has to write a program for this AI to work, or is the AI writing its own program?
Somewhere in between. So you've got to write the program that kind of kicks the AI off and gets it started, like kind of setting an elementary schooler loose into the world. But it's a very curious student, so then it teaches itself after that.
So being bored, as a lot of us are, and, you know, paying the subscription for the kid to YouTube, I watched the History of the World on the History Channel, which they condensed into 2.5 hours, which, you know, they had to take some liberties, let's be honest here. But it seems like every time humanity has something going for it, human nature steps up and screws it up. And I can't help but think of that. I mean, going way, way back to whatever year you want in human development, it seems like we're on the verge of the same thing here, because ultimately it's going to come down to human beings and who controls it. Yes or no?
Yes, and so we just want to do it carefully. Imagine if when cars were first rolled out, we said, okay, we're going to need traffic lights, we're going to need seatbelts, we're going to need airbags, and we're going to need sidewalks. Mm-hmm. All that stuff took us decades to work out through trial and error, but now we've got a similarly transformative technology, and we've got a chance to be safer about it, to be more thoughtful about it, and we should.
So how do you do that, Jason? How would, if there are people that are going to use it for bad purposes, and it's like a car on steroids, or if to make the analogy the same, this is not a cold. This is some kind of serious biological weapon, or whatever analogy you want. It just seems like I don't know how this can be safely done. Explain that to me. Tell me what a safeguard would look like, and what would you like to see the government doing right now to rein this in and protect people from bad uses of artificial intelligence?
I'd like to see the government track the super powerful specialized chips that are used to power AI. You can't train a new AI right now without millions of dollars worth of specialized hardware and a huge electricity drain. So we could have a pretty good idea of who's working on it and where and why, and we should. We should have the government aware of that information. And then we should require third-party safety testing. If you've got an AI and you, your company thinks the AI is great, let's just make sure you're not drinking your own Kool-Aid, right? I mean, yeah, you think it's safe, but what does the independent auditor think? Right? We require independent audits for all kinds of things that are safer than the level of power that AI is going to have soon. So we ought to have that same kind of check on the system.
So going back to my every time mankind has something going for it, we manage to screw it up. That presumes that everybody in the country or the forces of good are cooperating in a country, but countries compete against each other. So how do you get the world to manage artificial intelligence for the good of society in general and not one country dominating another? Because that seems impossible.
We're going to have to try to negotiate. You know, in the 40s, there was a very real effort to try to coordinate on how nuclear power could be used. Same idea, right? Nuclear power was thought of as a great way of getting clean, safe electricity. This was before Chernobyl and so on. Mm-hmm. And nuclear weapons were scary and dangerous. And people almost got it right. We almost got that international cooperation on how to use the technology safely. We did get it for the ozone layer. You never hear about the ozone layer anymore because the world got together and banned CFCs. And that just works for the most part. So it's hard. I don't disagree, but we've got to try.
So that brings me when you say, I know I'm not trying to be argumentative here. I'm just trying to think this through, Jason. Game it out. When you talk about the ozone layer, okay, but there was agreement on that. If you look at the disagreement politically that we have in this country as it relates to something like climate change, I don't see the difference when it comes to this. Or do you think there will be consensus of opinion on this? I agree. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I just don't know that this would ever happen, and it scares the hell out of me, frankly.
It scares me, too. That's why we're working on it. I think there is some consensus that AI is dangerous and that the government ought to regulate it. We look at the poll data coming out of the AI Policy Institute, and it consistently shows solid majorities in both parties that care about this issue, that believe it's dangerous, and that want safety regulation.
All right, so you're the director of the Center for AI Policy. I would presume that you have benchmarks that you look for or warning flags or something along those lines. What is it that is next on the highway for you that you're looking for? And I'm mixing metaphors here, but what is the next thing that you're concerned with or something that would happen and you'd say, you see, there's another example? Because we talk about deep fakes, right, and robocalls that spoof voices, et cetera. What's next on the horizon?
I think one of the next things that people might notice is an AI that can run its own business and maybe even make copies of itself and support those copies. And so right now that's just kind of at the toy level. But in the next couple of years, I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see some AIs that can sell you T-shirts or sell you ads or sell you copy and support themselves, kind of earn themselves their own income based on the work they're doing, enough to pay for their server time.
But again, when you talk about AI, who's earning that income? Who is?
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? So that's the whole problem is, what if you set it free, right? What if the AI is just reproducing itself without any human owner taking responsibility?
And that's not happening already, or is it?
Not in a serious way.
Hmm. Are you sure?
If it is, I haven't noticed it yet. Uh-huh. I've seen a couple of people trying, and it kind of can support itself for a couple of weeks or a couple of months at a time, and then it kind of fizzles out.
Jason, you seem as though you're not as freaked out by this as am I or the members of the audience that are texting me in. Are you freaked out by this or not?
Oh, yeah, I lose sleep over it. Look, I mean, I
worry about... Are you
serious
about... or not? You do?
No, I'm serious. Okay. I'm very serious. You know, part of why I'm working on this is because I want there to be, you know, a next generation that gets to grow up safely. I mean, I'm very worried about this, but I deal with it every day, and so I have to keep a little bit of a brave warrior kind of face about it so that I can continue working on it.
So is the glass half full or half empty?
You know, I'm thrilled to be working on it. I think people every day come over and realize and wake up, this is something we've got to work on. I think if that continues, if people keep noticing that this is a problem and deciding that they want to do something to try to fix it, then I think the glass is half full. If we drift along and just sort of let things be, then it's half empty.
So what can we do? The average guy, you know, I'm just the average guy, the average woman listening right now. You know, you got kids, maybe they're 25 listening right now, they got little babies, maybe they got grandkids, they're worried about the future. Is there anything, anything that just us average people can do about this?
Well, you can call your congressperson. So we're working in Congress to try to get safety legislation through. And the more people they hear from in all the districts, the more likely they are to take that seriously and do something about it. And, you know, maybe the other thing is, get some backups, right? You know, back up your computer, keep it somewhere that's not connected to the internet, so that you have your data and so on. And work out a way of recognizing each other for the deepfakes, right? So that you know, oh yeah, this really is, you know, my grandkid calling. It's not a deepfake. Come up with something.
Well, I was just going to ask you, when it comes to deepfakes specifically, are we just scratching the surface of that in terms of the technology getting better, where there will come a time where we won't be able to tell what's a deepfake and what's not?
That's right. Yeah. So they're already often convincing enough that if you're not alert, if you're not paying close attention, it can fool you. And they're going to become more common and more skillful. So we're going to have to actively defend against that, maybe with digital signatures or something like that.
Somebody texted in about access to AI. How accessible is it, and how do you keep it out of the hands of those that would use it for bad purposes?
Sure. So access cuts both ways, right? We want democratic access to useful AI, to research AI, to economic AI. We want everyone to be able to participate in the digital future, and for it not to be limited to just a few people. So that's one kind of access. The other thing is, how do you stop terrorists or rogue states from having access to the kind of AI that can be weaponized? And that's part of why we need better standards, right? We need more serious evaluations of what kinds of dangerous capabilities does an AI have, so that we know whether we should be promoting access to that particular AI system or restricting it.
I hope this doesn't sound dumb, but is there such a thing as big AI that would lobby Congress not to control this?
Yeah, no, I think there is. They're mostly operating behind the scenes so far, but we definitely see some signs of some lobbyists funded by the tech companies that are pushing for either no regulation or very weak regulation.
I hope you come back, Jason. It's been fascinating.
I really enjoyed the conversation. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
I hope we come back someday, because this is, it's not going to go away. I guarantee you that. Thank you, sir. Jason Green, Lowe Executive Director of the Center for AI Policy. Confused? Scared? Frightened? Me too. 9:38, 22 till 10. We come back, we'll talk about FBI charging 7 Chinese nationals in a cyber attack that affected millions of people. So while we're scaring ourselves, let's keep going, right? Traffic now, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.